Today I want to address an ongoing issue concerning identity, specifically the question of Latinx, Chicano or Chicana, and even Hispanic and Mexican, Mexican-American. These are all ethnic terms and terms that are associated with our community. And a lot of people have been, for years, this is not new, have been debating the issue as to how we should identify as a people, as a community. And, you know, I'm going to go through some of these terms and list them and give you some background as so you have an idea of what they mean and where they come from and why some people identify with some of these terms and some people don't. Why some people choose to reject these terms and some people won't. I think it'll make more sense to you as I go through them, a little bit of history associated with that. And let me start off also by saying that race and ethnicity are two different things, as well as nationalism. Your race, and as a matter of fact, race is a concept, it's a social construct, which means it's actually created, it's made up. There's really no such thing as race. It has to do with your environment, your conditions, the length of time maybe you people have lived in, a culture has, you know, flourished in a certain area, and then we get, especially because, you know, the environmental conditions and the social conditions, we get race. So let's keep that in mind. Let me start off first with the word Hispanic, because a lot of you are out there might be, you know, familiar with this term. Since we've been raised here in America in the 1970s for a lot of us, and those prior to this was new to them in the 1970s when Richard Nixon, the president of the United States, and the IRS as a way to, you know, get people together, to clump them together as a category, you know, basically needed a term to clump all these people together, Spanish-speaking people, people, some of them who were brown, some of them who weren't, some of them who were white or black, some of them who spoke Spanish and English, but some of them that didn't even speak that dialect. It could have been an indigenous dialect from Mexico or Central America. And as a result of the Nixon administration, they chose this term. And I say they because it was his advisors also included many Cubanos who have fled the Cuban, you know, after the Cuban revolution, where Fidel Castro and Che Guevara kicked out and got rid of the dictator there. They also kicked out a lot of wealthy Cubanos, many of them light-skinned. Many of them had businesses and money, and they identified as Hispanics or a Hispano. And that is actually a term that has its history with even Christopher Columbus, because there are Hispanic people in the world. And if you go to Europe, you'll find Hispanolia. In the Caribbean, where Columbus landed, he named a spot Hispanolia. And what you'll find out is that Hispanics do exist, but traditionally they're blonde-haired, blue-eyed Europeans. And the term Hispanic, if you think about it, it's a very racist term. It excludes the dark-skinned side of us, as whether you're Mexican or you're from El Salvador or you're from Guatemala or Colombia, your indigenous side has been excluded just by virtue of the term Hispanic. It was a popular term created by the Nixon administration. They stamped it on us, but it also discounts and it erases our individual ethnicities and experiences, elevating the white side of you if you're mixed and downplaying the darker skin side of you. So it's a racist term. I personally reject that term and have since I attended Mecha meetings at a young age, and they slapped me around. And even my Puerto Rican friends in the East Coast slapped me around and said, you're not Hispanic, you ain't Hispanic, you should know who you are. And it made a lot of sense. So just keep that in mind. Latino. Here's another term that many people identify with in the Central American countries, the five Central American countries, including outside of that, some of the people in the Caribbean and even in North America and in Mexico. Some people identify with the term Latino or Latina. And what people should know is that Latin, the term, goes way back beyond just the Romans. It goes back to the Greeks, the 6th century, where people spoke a language, Latin, for example. And after the Romans overtook much of the, you know, with their empire, overtook much of the world, they actually used to, you know, they took over this term, they took over this group of people in their language. Matter of fact, even used it in a derogatory term. The, you know, other European groups did the same thing, but it wasn't an ethnicity, it was a language. And now we find this term very, very popular, especially emerging after the 1950s in the United States of America and in Central America. And it's more of a regional term that encompasses the experience of people from Guatemala, from El Salvador, from those five countries down there, and even around the area, not just those, but Caribbean areas, where the term refers to Latin America or the Latin American experience of, that people grew up with, because not everybody is of Mexican descent, for example, or was born in Mexico. And they don't identify with certain terms. And Latin or Latino or Latina is a term they've identified with because of that experience. Now, Latino or Latina, Latin, has nothing to do with their experience other than the colonization, the imperialism, and the empire that the U.S. and other countries have built. Slavery, because a lot of slaves were brought under, you know, commerce clauses and all this action that happens throughout history. They were brought over, and people, you'll see them mixed in, dark skin, light skin. When I spend time in Cuba, every year, all the years that I go and I spend weeks there, up to 12, actually I should say 12 days out of the year, is something that I learned to see and hear from the people, that they identify as Cubano, nationally speaking, but they identify also with the Latin American countries as a way to oppose U.S. imperialism. It's their experience, but it has nothing to do with the land. It has nothing to do with the culture when it was first established. And as a matter of fact, after the 1950s, Latino became a very chic term, and people started stamping it on businesses. You can go to the hood, to the neighborhoods where poor people live, and you'll see Latino liquor, Latino market. You'll even watch the Latino Music Awards, and you know, it sounds cool. It sounds chic, but it has nothing to do with the indigenous side of who people are. And especially if we're talking about, say, Mexican-American or Mexican or Chicano, and I'll get to that because our next term is Mexican. Mexican is a popular term, and the vast majority of people living in states like California, New Mexico, Arizona, the states that once were Mexico, the vast majority of people, 60 to even 80% of the people who live in these states who are quote-unquote considered Hispanic or Latino are actually of Mexican descent, Mexico. And Dr. Rudy Acuña, who is the author of Occupied America, has written articles about this, and so have other scholars, and they break down the breakup of where people are from. And so the vast majority of people, even those who call themselves Latino, who don't call themselves Mexican or Chicano, they are actually of Mexico or Mexican descent. And what we're talking about here is an identity. So Mexico obviously is a large landmass. Much of that land was stolen after 1848, the Treaty of Guadalupe, the Mexican-American, the Mexican-American U.S. War with them. They took the states pretty much, violated everybody's rights. But a lot of people hung on to the term Mexican. But what people don't realize is the term even Mexicano or Mexican is a colonized term, because it actually goes back to the word Mexica, or the Mexica alliance that once existed in Central America. And it had various tribes that, although they warred with each other, they had alliances. And it was under the term Mexica that oftentimes we get the term, or we eventually get the term Mexicano with the J, because the Spanish changed it. You could see it in an 1848 map of Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo, where they change it with the J. It goes back to that X after Mexico gets its independence, and you'll see, or at least after the war of 1848 with the U.S., and it goes to show that the term Mexicano or Mexican actually comes from the word Mexica, and Mexican, Mexica, it may not encompass everybody, but what we should, you know, note here is that this is actually one of the first terms that really does have to do with the people there, the indigenous people. It doesn't reject the dark skin side of you, the native side of you, the indigenous side of you. And this is where we get to this next term, which I think most people often ask, what is then Chicano? And does it come from the word Mexica? And there is theories that it does. There is ties to the people there, because the word Chicano often is traced back to the people in Mexico and traced back to the indigenous people in Mexico, because the word Chicano is not English and it's not Spanish, but it can be traced back to even being Mexicano, Mexicana, if you put the gender side of it in there. So what we need to understand about the term Chicano and why I leave it for last is because this term is actually a powerful term. It's an incredible term that is so powerful, and people don't even realize what it truly means, because when I got to college, I was taught, well, it means that you're a former Mexican, or at least your parents are Mexican, but you're born in the United States, so you're a Chicano. Well, it means you march with the UFW and Mecha and the Brown Berets, and no, Chicano does not mean that. You could have done all that, but that's not what a Chicano is. A Chicano is much more simpler than that. The term itself refers to children of the earth, children of the land. Think about that. The term Chicano or Chicana refers to children of the land. Nothing more, nothing less. Yet, it's such a powerful and threatening term. Threatening not to the people of Mexico, but threatening to, and then in the 1930s and 40s during the Zoot Suit Riots, to the white supremacist legal system, to the white supremacist politicians who ran America. And even before that, it's threatening to the white supremacist scholars who downplayed our history and basically stereotyped us as bloodthirsty Aztecs. Go back and check the transcripts from the Sleepy Lagoon case featured in the movie Zoot Suit by Luis Valdez. What you're going to find out about this term is that it's threatening, not because it rejects the Mexican side of you. Matter of fact, it embraces straight up the indigenous side of you. And it says, I am from this land. I am Chicano or I am Chicana. And the reason why that is so threatening is because if you're of this land, the Western Hemisphere, this land we call now America, specifically North America, Central America, then how the hell can you be an illegal alien on this land? And think about that, because that's why some people are threatened by this term. People in power, I should say. People who know where this term comes from. And this is why also in the 1960s, when this term emerged during the civil rights movements that were taking place, you had the black civil rights movement, which was incredible. But you also had the quote-unquote Chicano movement and the Chicana movement. And the reason I say this is because people came out with this term to reaffirm who they were. A term that had been around, had been used. People try to dirty it. People try to talk it down. But no, the term is powerful. And that's why it's such an important term. And that's why people identify with this term. Doesn't mean you were born here and your parents were born in Mexico. No, it doesn't mean that. It simply means children of the earth. That's it. And once people understand this concept of Chicano or Chicana, they understand the power in reaffirming the term. And so it leads us to this debate. Then who is a Chicano? What do we mean by Chicano? What if I don't want to use that term? And I understand where people are coming from, because I was born in Culiacán, Sinaloa. I was raised telling everybody, hey, yo soy Mexicano, I'm Mexican. And I am, by the way, and I was up until I became a U.S. citizen. But the truth is, Mexican or Mexicano is just like a U.S. citizen. You're not talking about a people. You're talking about a nationality. But I chose the term Chicano specifically because it does reaffirm who you are. It does remind the power structures and those that would want to deport us and kill us and lock us up in cages. It does tell them, hey, we were here already. We are indigenous to this land. Chicanos, Mexicanos, yeah, and even people in Central and South America, Juana, Mexico, they are indigenous to this land. You cannot deport people who are already here. Tell them to go back to where they came from when they were already here. This is why the term is such an important term. And so going back to this debate, so then Latino, Latinx, Latina versus Chicano, Hispanic, well, stick to Latino and Latina. Because I think I've seen a lot of things thrown around on the internet. Some people, I would say, irresponsibly name-calling, bullying, laughing at others. And we're not going to get anywhere with that. But I think that these grenades that are tossed out there sometimes are genuine, are sincere by some people. But I think there has to be a bit of responsibility that comes with that. Because what we end up doing at the end of the day is we end up talking past each other, attacking each other on a personal basis, and we get nowhere. So let's get down to this. So Latino or Latinx? Latina, Latinx. First of all, I want to explain what Latinx means so you all understand. For those who don't know, Latinx, X is simply, and you'll even find this in Chicanx as well, where Chicano and Chicanas will use the X. It basically just erases the gender side of things, the O, the A, because, you know, then you start getting to masculinity and you start getting to male dominance, and that does happen. I personally don't mind the X. I understand it. It's not like Malcolm X necessarily, but it does. It is very similar, because if you understand the signature of a person who was poor in America in the 1700s, 1600s, 1800s, you go back to, if you were not educated, you put an X and that was your mark because you didn't know where you came from. You may not know your real name, etc. And the truth is, some of us don't know that, right? But leaving the X there, just understand that the term Latin, some people are identifying with it probably more than the term Chicano or Chicana. Even though these Latinx young people today, I'll use young because many of them are young, even though most of them are a lot of them, I should say, are not even from Central America, from where this term might be better associated with, right? Their experience in Central America is to the Latin American countries, but young people here, even Mexicanos and Chicanos, are calling themselves Latinx. And from my experience, I know growing up, what you identify with sometimes has to do with your upbringing, your household, the teachings of your parents and your community. So many of these young people coming up with the social media today, they don't know the history of the Chicano-Chicana movement because, you know, it's not taught in our schools. But they also have been misled by a lot of people throwing things out there that isn't true. A lot of junk science, a lot of scholars, especially at the university level, who choose to run with Latinx as a way to talk about everybody, which is unfair because not everybody identifies with that term. As a matter of fact, like citing the work of Rudy Acuña, 80% even in these states of the people who are of quote-unquote Mexican descent, and some of them are identifying with Latinx because they don't know their history. And so know that Latinx simply refers to that. It's become popular within the scholarly and the young people today, despite not, I would argue, a lot of them not knowing the true history. A lot of them, unfortunately, I've seen the comments tossed around also irresponsibly by people who consider themselves Latinos or Latinas, where they start accusing Chicanos or Chicanas of being sexist and homophobic. And even the change after 50 years of the Movimiento Estudiantil Chicano de Aztlán, or MECHA, at UCLA, the name change that was done to that organization, or at least try to be pushed on that organization, was wrong. Because when you go around erasing this history, because that's what you're doing, you blind and you deny young people the history that maybe they should be able to look at and choose for themselves. Is there a need for a national identity? Obviously, we are in what we call an identity crisis, and we have been for years, but we've been divided and conquered so long that we choose to run with our own, that we identify with or feel more comfortable with. And my point being that not that everybody should be called Chicano or Chicana, because the power of that term is it affirms who you are because of the indigenous side of you. Matter of fact, there'll be a lot of Chicanos and Chicanas who use that term. And we, by the same token, who refer to ourselves as Chicanos and Chicanas, we cannot expect the younger generation, to be up with all this education, all this knowledge. And then some of them don't even go to college. So how can we expect them to have all this scholarly knowledge for those of us who say we're Chicano? And the truth is, not everybody is from Mexican descent or from the indigenous people of Mexico's descent to say I'm Chicano. And they're choosing, because of their experiences, not to call themselves that. So we ourselves are going to have to look and reexamine what we're doing to hold back this discussion or the progress on identity. I like what Dr. Rudy Acuña has done. I like what other scholars have said concerning erasing our history. And I truly agree with that, because that's what, as a historian myself, I believe that's what's part of what's going on. And it's not new to civilizations. That happens throughout, you know, years of history, where civilizations, identities, histories, cultures are wiped out, erased, or renamed, and all of a sudden people forget who they truly are. I mean, how many of us know who the Sumerians are? I teach history, and a lot of our own history teachers are barely learning that. But basically, getting back to his question, I want to close out because I think it's important with everything going on in the internet, you know, in inner sphere, especially during this time of COVID, where a lot of us are stuck at home. And that's probably why this is really heated up, because we got a lot of time on our hands and a lot of people are asking relevant and very good questions. But by the same token, some people are taking advantage of it and I think are going about it the wrong way. So in closing, I just want to say this, that it doesn't do any good to anyone or on anyone's part to name call, to make fun of those who use the term Latino or Latina or Latinx. It amounts to bullying, and if anything, it sets us back as a community, and it continues to divide us, especially during this time, like I said, when we need each other, COVID, crisis that's taking place across the world. Around the world, we need to, you know, be even more united. But equally speaking, it doesn't do any good for those who choose to use the term Latino or Latina or Latinx to demand that the word Chicano or Chicana be erased from history, and expect the people of indigenous descent to accept a term that originates in Europe, Latin, for example, with the Greeks, and then later the Romans. You know, it's a slap in the face to all the ancestors, all our ancestors who fought and died to reaffirm who we were as indigenous people of Mexico and other countries or regions where people were of indigenous descent. And they fought to end and demand an end to white supremacy and genocide, something that never ended. It's continuing, but at least they were fighting. So as we go through this debate and as we get through this debate, you know, I personally choose Chicano and Chicana because I believe that we need to reaffirm who we are on this land. Not to say that people should not call themselves what they choose, but I'll tell you what I tell my students. If you choose to call yourself something different, that's your choice. You will have to live with those consequences. That includes the term Hispanic, which I don't care much for. That includes the term Mexican-American because, you know, although some people identify that way, you know, I understand. But again, you have to choose wisely, and you have to know why you're choosing those terms. As we go forward, not everybody's going to choose to call themselves Chicano or Chicana, but many of us who are organizers, political activists, such as myself, will choose to use it, because if it does one good thing of all these years that I've been alive, and especially since I've used the term, it reaffirms who we are as a people, as a community. It reaffirms that we were already here on this land that is now and has been occupied by Europeans for hundreds of years. It reaffirms that we'll continue fighting and teaching our children that we were already here and that we shouldn't be treated like crap, and we shouldn't be put in cages. And I want to say something about that cage thing, because there's children in there, the vast majority of them are from those five countries, but there's Mexicano children in there as well. Matter of fact, there's African children in there as well. And as long as we as organizers and as political organizers only choose to side with one group, then we're going to lose that battle, because the truth is you can't pick and choose. The racism doesn't pick and choose other than your color. It doesn't pick and choose necessarily what country you're from. Your skin is brown or black, you've seen it, we've seen it. In 2020, we've seen everything from children in cages to 6,000 soldiers at the U.S. southern border, something that hasn't been done since the time of Pancho Villa and the World War I. And you see the racism that after 45 came along, you see the racism that has occurred. You know, a couple of days from now will be the anniversary of the shooting of 20-some people that died at Walmart at the hands of a white supremacist who specifically went down there to kill Mexicans, to hunt Mexicans. And he cited in his manifesto Donald Trump at least 5 times. And it's sad because many people forget that these things are happening right in front of us because so much drama is going on. And in these times, we can't afford to be divided because of these scholarly debates or foolish name callings. We need to come together. And it doesn't matter what country, what color. At the end of the day, we're all bait, and we're all, you know, a target for white supremacists. So, you know, I wanted to do this earlier. I wanted to do this podcast on identity earlier, but at least I've done it today, and I'm hoping that people will listen to this, will take it to heart. Obviously, do your research, and if you choose to call yourself something different, that's fine. You know, everybody, you know, makes a conscious choice once they research everything. Know, though, whatever you choose to call yourself, it does come with consequences, obviously. Even the word Chicano. You call yourself Chicano or Chicana, that comes with consequences. Could be good or bad. Just be ready to stand up, you know, for what you believe in, and explain, or at least try to break down why it is you choose that. And with that said, I hope everybody is doing good out there, hanging in there, staying safe. And we've got a crazy next couple of months ahead of us as I stand here and record this podcast in the end of July 2020. We're almost done with this month, heading into an election year. And we're going to be seeing either things get worse for the next 4 years or maybe they won't. But, you know, I hate to say it. I think we need to stick together and make sure that things, you know, don't get worse. But it's not going to start with a debate or name calling online about what we should call ourselves. Latino, Latinx, Chicano, Hispanic. No, it's going to start with us coming together as human beings to go forward. Oh.